We are good to go. Thank you. Sorry about that.
Okay. All right. Well, good evening and welcome to the February 10th. Services District. Could you have a roll call, please? You're muted.
Oh. How about now?
There you are.
There we are. Director Oplogle?
Here.
Director Villa?
Here.
Director Gibson?
Here.
Vice President White?
I just disappeared.
There you are. We see you.
We see you.
I don't see anything, though.
Well.
I'm here.
Okay.
And then President Austin?
Here. Okay. We'll now join in the flag salute.
Gary, I can't hear anybody.
Something's muted down here.
I can hear you. I think Jeff is having trouble with his computer sound, but
are we ready for the flag salute then?
Yes.
Okay, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God,
indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, that brings us to agenda review. Is there anything anyone wants to change or move on the agenda?
I have nothing, Karen White.
Okay, I don't see anyone else. So if someone would like to make a motion to approve the agenda as presented.
I so move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, the agenda is as presented. So that brings us to item number 5, which is public comment for items that are not on the agenda. Everybody would have 3 minutes, so we go ahead now and open up if there's any public comment tonight.
Hi, yes, and just to remind the public, if you're on your phone, it's *9, and if you are using a computer or a tablet, please hit the raise hand button.
Hey.
And with that, I don't have any hands raised.
There'll be no. Okay, then that brings us down to special presentations and reports. So we'll start out first with Commander Wells of the South Sheriff's South Station. Got two south.
Good evening, members of the board. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll run through some statistics for January of 2021. It's been an interesting month thus far. The Oceano substation ran 856 calls for service, generating 94 reports, 31 of which were filed with the DA for charges sought against the offenders. Again, we're having an increase in theft and opportunistic thefts and narcotics-related offenses. I would say probably directly due to the pandemic, and also the situation with not being able to book people into jail, but that's something we're working through on a daily basis. I would caution all community members to safeguard their own property, make sure you lock your vehicles when they're unattended, don't leave any items of value in view in your vehicle if you are gonna leave it unlocked, but it's best to always lock your vehicle. And then the old adage of see something, say something. If you see someone that's suspicious or doing something that doesn't look quite right, please call the sheriff's office and we'll attempt to come out and contact that person and determine what they're up to. It's a community effort on all of our part to make sure that we look out for one another and our own property as well. Does anybody have any specific questions for me?
Okay, are there any questions for Commander Wells? I don't see everybody. Well, looks like we don't have any questions, so thank you very much for your report.
Thank you very much. You all have a great evening.
Thank you. You too. Thank you. Okay, that brings us to Chief Lieberman of the Five Cities Fire Authority. Chief Lieberman?
I think I'm here. Good evening. Good evening, Chair and Board. Steve Lieberman, Fire Chief for Oceano and the Five Cities Fire Authority. Just wanted to share some information specifically related to what we've been doing in terms of an incident management team activation in the county, supporting public health, and Five Cities Fire Authority's involvement in supporting the point of distribution vaccination sites in the county. Myself and a couple of other folks are actually part of the incident management team and started planning efforts shortly after the start of the new year. Numerous members of the Five Cities Fire Authority who are EMTs, emergency medical technicians, have taken the extra training required to have emergency authorization to become vaccinators. So as folks begin to cycle through the Arroyo Grande High School gymnasium and vaccination pod, you will see Five Cities Fire Authorities actually administering the COVID vaccination. As you know, the success of the community vaccinations is dependent upon the availability of vaccines, and that's something that's beyond our control. But I will say the three pods have been operating very smoothly in Paso Robles at the fairgrounds. San Luis Obispo has relocated to Cuesta College Performing Arts Center. And as I mentioned, Arroyo Grande High School. Pods were closed this week in North and South because of a lack of vaccine. Next week, they will be open Tuesday through Thursday. We'll be administering 635 vaccinations a day, which is a big jump from our usual 400. North and South will be administering second doses of the Moderna vaccine to folks, but Cuesta College will be open to the 65 and over population beginning registration tomorrow at 9 a.m. So any community members that may be watching the meeting this evening and haven't seen the evening news, I'd encourage you to go to recoverslow.org or readyslow.org. It's the same site. Click on the COVID-19 links to vaccination information and register for your shots. That concludes my report.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Chief. Anyone have any questions or comments for the Chief? Okay. Next is Tony Maricino.
Good evening. Tony Maricino, Utility Systems Manager. So Lopez is currently at 40.2%. full, which is 19,845 acre feet. We had one SSO in January. It was a sewer lateral, and we have already replaced that sewer lateral and paved the street. We are currently still doing our weekly, monthly samples. We had 7 work orders, 6 USAs, 4 customer service calls. We had one after hours call out that was due to a power that flickered here at the yard that set off some yard alarms that had to get reset. First of the month startup on equipment. We had a few fire flows. We had one of the exterior lights on the OCSD building lights replaced. We had to replace a water service line on Wilmar that was due to the age and it was leaking. We had also had to concrete the sidewalk back in after the service was reinstalled. We had to raise a few meter boxes in the alleyway that was paved to bring them up to grade. We're still continuing to do trash, and we had yard equipment and tool maintenance the past couple weeks. Any questions?
Any questions for Tony Maricino? Doesn't look like it.
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Okay, that brings us to our general manager.
All right, can you hear me?
Yes.
Very good. So you may have heard that there was a water treatment plant in Florida that was hacked, and that's raised some questions about the vulnerability of Oceano's water supply. So I wanted to just briefly touch on that. So one of, I guess, the benefits of having an older system is that our system here locally is not connected to the internet. So all the controls that we operate are done manually. We have alarms that go out over the telephone system. So the vulnerability to a hack is non-existent for our local system. However, as we know, we get our water supply from the Lopez Water Treatment Plant, and their system does have automated systems like SCADA that are operated through the county's network. There is no direct connection between the internet and the Lopez system, so it's all done through the county's network. So that's a good protection. And basically, there's several layers of protection that would prevent someone from gaining access to the county's network. Now, obviously, with any computer system, it's not 100% foolproof. So there is a remote possibility of the county systems being hacked. I know when I was there, they were always performing vulnerability assessments and staff training. So I know the county takes it very seriously and responsibly. They have a dedicated computer safety manager. So with that being said, if for some reason the county system was breached and someone was able to gain access to the treatment plant, the next question is, what could they do and would it be dangerous? Basically, some of the controls for the chemicals are automated. However, if they were to tamper with that and actually increase any chemical in the water, there are sensors at the plant that would detect that and automatically shut the plant down. So that's a really a good protection. And basically what I'm trying to say is our water supply is safe as it can be. And what happened in Florida really probably wouldn't happen here. The other thing is, we have different chemicals in Florida. The chemicals they needed to treat their water were more dangerous than the chemicals that are used at the Lopez plant. So a lot of different factors that come into play here, but I just wanted to kind of give people the assurance that that danger is a very remote one for our system. So with that, I'll move on to some other bad news on our grant applications. We've in the last month received a notification that all these grant applications were highly competitive and ours didn't score high enough. And so we weren't successful in three of our grant applications, the CDBG, which was going to be used to fix the water tank. This is the second year that we haven't received funding from that program. There's the Cal OES PSPS grant for our portable generators. We weren't successful there. And the Cal Recycle, which was some additional money for recycling bins and water bottle refill stations. That would have added on to the grant that's going to be approved tonight, or hopefully approved tonight in our consent agenda. So we weren't successful on those three grants. We still have another grant outstanding that's being reviewed, and that's the Prop 1 for our water recharge project at the Oceano Elementary School of about $2.45 million. So hopefully we hear on that in the near future and get some good news. along those lines. And I think that's the extent of my report.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Mr. Clemens?
Yeah, I have a question about the grants. Did you get any indication of why those were not approved?
With the CDBG, I believe that the county is prioritizing homeless issues, and that's where most of the funding is going rather than infrastructure. The others just didn't score high enough. I don't really know the exact reasons. I'm thinking perhaps our vulnerability to a PSPS shutdown here is remote because we haven't had them, unlike those agencies that perhaps are in the foothills and maybe they scored higher. So that's about all that I can say on the reasons why we didn't score high enough.
And do you have any lines on alternative sources of grant funding? I mean, I know the water tanks are badly in need of repair.
Yeah, so the water tank will be included with our, we're right now pursuing USDA funding for that. The USDA program has low interest loans over 40 years. So our goal is to include everything that we have to do in that application. It also can include grants depending on our water rates, how much additional cost that loan would add. So there's hope of receiving grants with that USDA program. But also we'll be applying for other grants for specific pieces of infrastructure. For example, we did receive $275,000 in Prop 1 funding to do the water line on Highway 1, which we'll do probably this summer sometimes. There's another round of Prop 1 funding that we'll certainly apply for this summer to implement more projects. So there are grant funds out there that we're going to continually pursue.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for the information on Florida. That was enlightening. Thank you.
Puts us at ease there. Okay, with that, then we'll move on to our board of directors and outside committee reports. So we'll go right down the line. Director Villa.
I have no reports, but I do want to publicly state that I was very pleased and very thankful that we had most of our directors show up for the opening of the Chacho's mural, the OBCA Chacho's mural. And our manager and his wife put it out there, pleasantly surprised that even our supervisor was there and that most of you stayed for the whole event. It's events like this that I believe that bring the community together, strengthen our community, and instill community pride. So I want to publicly thank you. You took time out of your weekend, a couple hours out of your weekend, so thank you so much. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Sorry, I couldn't get there.
Oh, I know.
I just had another conflict.
I know that some people can't make it, and I did see your emails, Karen.
Okay, and it sure is nice.
Yeah, it was a lovely event, Aline.
Yeah, very successful and event, and the artist sure deserved it because he put a lot of time and effort into that mural. Right. And we had more people than I thought. I was like, very surprised. Yeah. Pleasantly surprised. We have about 50 people, I believe.
Yeah, there was. I counted as a little over 50. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, it was nice. And then it was a plus to order Chacho's food afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Director Villa,
yes.
I recall the grant application included murals in several locations around Oceano, as well as an app that would guide people on a walking tour and provide more information about the artist and the building, things like that. Mm-hmm. So when can we look forward to seeing the rest of it?
Well, he's taking a little break. I think he has midterms or something right now, but he is going to do his next one in the Tapatía. It's going to be a much smaller mural, but the Tapatía should be next.
Okay. And sure. What about
I can't say like in a month or maybe a couple of months. I'm not sure. He hasn't given us a date, but that's his next.
And the walking tour app?
I'm not sure if that's going to happen or not, but we'll see about that.
Oh, I think it was in the grant application also. I hope it is, because that would be something
that would really be cool awesome, huh?
For our town.
Mm-hmm. It would be.
Okay. And we'll move on now to Vice President White.
I had no meetings since the last of January.
I skipped Director Gibson.
Yeah. So I had one meeting with the Water Resources Advisory Committee. Our main consideration was the Water Management Tools Contract Amendment that amends the State Water Project contract. We approved sending the amendment to the Board of Supervisors. The Board of Supervisors met yesterday and requested more information. So on March 2nd, the board will discuss the amendment. That's it. Thank you.
Director Replogle?
I attended the IWMA meeting today. One of the big topics was the board was discussing what to do with the polystyrene and EPS ordinance that was enacted at the end of 2019 and supposed to go into effect in April of 2020, but postponed for a year because of COVID. It mainly applies to like styrofoam takeout containers, but other items as well that are made of polystyrene and EPS. After a lengthy discussion, I think it went on about 2 hours, there were 100 written comments received and quite a few members of the public commented at the meeting as well. And our general manager forwarded in advance the letter of support that the OCSD wrote when that ordinance was being considered. But nevertheless, the board decided to ask staff to bring back an ordinance repealing the polystyrene and EPS ordinance in its entirety. So this is disappointing because I think the weight of public support is in favor of keeping the ordinance. Unfortunately, our fourth district supervisor, as well as the special district's representative, who's Robert Enns from the Cayucas Sanitary District, both voted in favor of bringing back an ordinance to repeal. So I don't have a date on when that will come back, but it will be noticed and there will be an opportunity for the public and this board as well to comment on that coming up. So stay tuned.
Okay, thank you. I'm next. So I did have a meeting of the San Francisco County Sanitation District. Very short agenda. We had our bylaws were the main thing on the agenda, and we reviewed and updated them. And during the storm event, the staff at the plant was very busy in the week in advance, and all during the storm, they were very prepared, and there was no incidents, nothing happened. It was weathered the storm very well, so that was great. As far as the redundancy program, the USDA gave the final approval on January 11th. So there was a pre-construction meeting held. The notice to proceed was issued on January 25th. So everything's been the agreement's been fully executed. Bonds and insurance are on file. So right now they're just doing the mobilization of the construction. And what's coming up in our next meeting on the 3rd is there will be an update on moving all the district rates and charges to the county tax roll. So it will, Grover and Aurora Grandy, it will be considered to put them on the tax roll like Oceano and make it all uniform. So that's it. That's it. Thank you. Are there any comments, questions? Okay, then we will open this for public comment for staff and board of director reports.
Yes, and just to remind the public, it is star 9 on the phone, and then if you are on your computer tablet, is the raise hand button. And I am going to allow the first speaker to talk, and it is Lucia Kostanova.
Hi, everyone. I'm sorry I missed my chance for public comment. I respectfully ask that you give me a couple of minutes to thank everyone who was at the mural event in behalf of the Oceano Beach Community Association. I want to tell you that it was an event that brought the community together, and I was very pleased. And I want to answer some of the comments, the question that Director Raplog asked, and Director Villa tried to address. So I'm glad I have this opportunity. It is true that in the original application, there was more of an art tour, and it was more an extensive thing, and there was the project of an app so that the visitor would come to the mural, and there was something at the mural, like, I'm not very technical, but they would click and they would prove that they were there, and they, it was a virtual tour. Well, that's not going to happen, because the person who, our original grant manager relocated, and we elected a new grant manager. And the new grant manager is Oscar Pearson. And Oscar Pearson, his quote and his labor does not include only a mural that you have seen and a smaller mural that is going to do on La Tapatia. So those two are the only projects that will be done. So I hope that this answers the question. And again, if you have more questions or comments to make, and I hope that this gives you, that you can see how important it is to put on the agenda the mural for the firehouse. So you've seen what it looks like, you've seen what it does to Oceano. So please put it on the agenda as soon as you can and get it done now that Oscar is available. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Lucia. All right, is there any other public comment?
And with that, that was the only hand I have raised.
Okay, then we will move on to the consent agenda. Okay, so is there anything anybody want to pull or discuss on the consent agenda?
Nothing for me.
Nothing? I'll go ahead and open up for public comment on the consent agenda.
Muted. Okay, sorry about that. And just another reminder, star 9 on the phone and the raise hand button if you're on your computer or tablet for public comment. And with that, I don't have any hands raised.
All right, thank you. Then we'll close public comment for the consent agenda and bring it back. Is there a motion?
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented if there's no questions.
I'll second.
Okay, can we get a roll call, please?
Yes, Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Oplogle?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
And President Austin?
Yes. Okay, we'll move right along to our business items. So 8A is the introduction of an ordinance repealing and restating District Code 15.10 of the sale of fireworks. We asked for public comment. Is that before
we introduce this? We introduce it, discuss it, then open the public comment and bring it back, Rick?
Yeah, I think it would be helpful if we discuss this a little bit prior to public comment, and then you can take public comment later.
Okay. You want to go ahead then?
Yeah, so the original, you know, plan was to introduce the ordinance tonight and next meeting bring it back for approval. Since the agenda was posted, I've received quite a few comments on the proposed ordinance from some on the board, and Chief Lieberman has a suggestion. So rather than try to craft all those into a motion to introduce, it might be helpful if we just discuss, you know, that we get this right and discuss the points that were brought to my attention by your board, so you can make some decisions, and then I can bring back at the next meeting a clean ordinance to introduce. And that, because it'll only push us back 2 weeks and there's really no time crunch. So that would be my suggestion if that's what your board wants to do.
Okay. I would support that.
So maybe we can walk through some of the comments I received. I'm going to try to share my screen here. Can you see that?
Yeah.
So I thought we'd go through the ordinance in chronological order and discuss some of the comments received. The first one was a suggestion that we put something in the ordinance that would require the permittees to distribute educational material. So for example, the fact that we're probably going to be reducing the discharge period from 365 days down to something much less, like 1 or 2 days, depending on what is decided. So it would be good to educate the public in that and educate what is safe and sane and what is illegal. So this was a suggested addition that we would put under the operation of the stand section of the ordinance. So I'm open to questions, comments, if we have consensus.
I totally agree that that's a good item to put into it.
Could that also include information on how you're not supposed to use illegal fireworks?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean.
Because it is going to be a big change. So when they buy them a week before the 4th, they need a big thing. They, you know, it's not legal. Not everybody, you know, pays attention. So if they, when they buy it, that's an excellent idea to put that in. Yeah.
Do we have time to develop that and budget to develop some kind of material?
Just be a flyer.
Can we find it somewhere?
Yeah. You're getting some feedback. I've included. I've included some budget in our cost estimates for running the fireworks program, and I believe it would be plenty for producing any educational materials that could be given to customers as they purchase their fireworks. And that
I'd suggest including something about cleaning up and not littering as well, because I think we've all seen how much litter's left in the streets around here after 4th of July.
And I think this language is broad enough that really any educational material we want to put in there and provide would be covered by this language. Okay. So it seems like we have consensus that this would be a good thing to include.
Everybody think
that's yes.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a great thing.
Okay. The next section is prerequisites to issuance of the permit. And as you've seen, the black ink is the ordinance as it was in your agenda packet. The red is proposed changes to that ordinance. But in the first section, A, there was some concern in the first sentence that we call out what type of nonprofits qualify. And so I've left it as it is, but certainly open to ideas along those lines.
Does this make for each year? Let's see here. We have the four that always do it. They're not, they'll still be in, right?
Yeah, they would all qualify.
They all qualify and they wouldn't, okay. But you say
if there was a new nonprofit that wanted to sign up and one of the existing didn't want to do it anymore and there was a permit available, then it would only be for those nonprofits organized primarily for veteran, patriotic welfare, district betterment, religious or charitable purposes.
Okay.
So I think there was at least a comment that why are we limiting which nonprofits? Couldn't we just say who is a nonprofit association and get rid of those other qualifications? So I think this is the same language as in Grover Beach. So I'm comfortable with it, but this is your ordinance. So I'll leave it up to you.
Well, yeah, I think it's better to just make it broad and then we're not trying to see if somebody new comes along, we have to shoehorn them into one of those categories. And if they don't fit, they're out of luck. Plus that could open us to charges of being discriminating against organizations that aren't one of those types.
Well, I don't know. Charitable purposes, you'd have to be a charitable purpose. So I think that covers a broad thing. I don't think you'd have a problem with someone thinking they were being discriminated against.
It's Director Gibson, I like it as it is. And does it keep everything, all the 501c3s basically in Oceano to benefit our district?
Right. Well, that's you have to be in Oceano.
Right.
Does it say that somewhere?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. It has to benefit the community of Oceano. What your money raised has to go back into, like all these four all go right back into Oceano.
Okay.
I don't know what a patriotic organization would be. Specifically, I mean.
Well,
I guess maybe the Elks.
The Elks, Welcome Home Military Heroes. They're patriotic.
Well, that's veterans. So's the Elks, really. I just wonder if we need patriotic in there. Because veterans and welfare cover pretty well any organization.
I don't see anything wrong with saying patriotic.
Okay.
Anybody else? I mean, that's just me. So.
I just thought it was kind of redundant to either welfare or veterans, because all the organizations I can think of that are veterans and welfare.
Right.
No.
All right, if there's no other comments, shall we move on then, Mr. Clemon?
So we're leaving that language as is?
I think so, yes.
Okay. Yes.
Now, one question. We got a letter of interest from the California Highway Patrol, and I don't know whether that they would qualify, because number one, they don't meet in Oceano. I mean, they drive through Oceano. I'm just comparing that letter we got as a public comment to
the sell them before, and they do. Oh, it's been a while back, so those I don't remember, but they did put some of the windows down. But that's a California state organization. I don't know if that would just go under charitable purposes.
Well, and it's the benefit is for the children and families of the CHP, right? Mm-hmm. Not Oceano broadly.
And since you mentioned it, I was going to bring that up. We did receive that written public comment on this item. And I think the request was to consider not limiting it to 4 permits, but allowing more, so 5. But my recommendation would be to keep it at 4. And I say that because I think Oceano already has more stands per capita than our neighboring cities, number one. And if you were to allow more, then that's simply going to go to probably cutting down the profits for the other nonprofits that are operating. So certainly your call if you want more than 4, but that would not be my recommendation.
I agree with that. Keep it at 4.
Yes, I'd support 4.
And I think you should have it like the highway patrol should be like number one on the list. Say if this year, you know, first chance, I guess you'd call it, if one of these groups does not do it.
But they don't qualify.
Yeah.
Well, they don't qualify. Minimum 3 years.
Yeah.
No, they did it before. And
well, they did it, but they still don't qualify with the rules we just started looking at.
Yeah.
I don't think they qualify under the under the existing ordinance either, because it has to be an Oceano organization.
Yeah.
Okay, can we move on then, Will?
Sure. So under B, I was just trying to make it a little more clear on how the permits would be allocated if some of the existing 4 were to bow out at some point. So, you know, basically, if all 4 want to do it again, they take the 4 permits, and we don't, you know, no matter how many applications we get, we don't hold
a drawing,
and
this sounds fine.
Yeah. So I just want to make sure that this change meets everybody's needs.
Yes.
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 Okay.
Okay. So I think that's all we have under 50. Under 60, I heard a desire to add December 31st, New Year's Eve. And so this is some inserted language to include it. And I want the board's direction on whether to include it.
Comment from the director.
Take it out. One vote to take it out. And
take it out.
So 2 to take it out.
Is there anybody else want to comment on it?
Well, I'd would
love
like
to have it.
I would like to have it on New Year's. And I think a lot of families would like to have it. I don't see anything wrong with it.
I think a lot of families would like to not have it so that they can sleep and their pets aren't scared another day of the year, and veterans with PTSD aren't frightened.
Regardless, if we're allowed to do, and it won't be selling booths. It'll just be if you have safe and sane fireworks.
I just think it'll make it more difficult to control the illegals. If there's nothing out there that's legal on, I mean, and that's as much as I would like it to be some other way. But we have to be fair if we're going to ask the law enforcement to deal with everything on New Year's Eve. I think this just adds more levels of concern for them.
And well,
I don't think it's fair.
And we talked about being consistent with Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande as well. And this would be inconsistent.
Okay, I'm fine.
Who else? I'd love to have it. I'd love to have it.
Well, I would like to see it stay. But...
Well, if we did decide to do it, we could, you know, reconsider after after New Year's and see, you know, see what happened.
Well, because you're going to have the illegals regardless.
True, I agree.
So I don't know if it's a tradition for the families in Oceano to set off their little fireworks. You don't even see it. I mean, it's not, I don't know.
No, it's not that, you know, it's not like 4th of July at all.
Okay.
On New Year's, what you get is of the illegals.
Yeah. Well, then I would, yeah.
So I hear two no's and three yeses to New Year's Eve.
I think we should give it a shot and see what happens. We can't change it. I think they're going to do it. I don't know. We took away all the other days. Why don't we? I don't know. I just think we should leave it. But
okay.
Not going to, I mean, whatever everybody
thinks. Can we hear from the public and then come back to this?
Yeah, let's do that.
Sure. Okay. And then finally, this was from the chief. He would like something inserted about a mandatory meeting. This is something that's similar to what's in Arroyo Grande's ordinance. Just makes it mandatory for each permittee to be at this meeting that they hold annually to discuss safety practices, legal issues, the laws, rules, regulations, etc.
Yeah, that should be in there.
It needs to be in there, yes.
They always used to do that.
They always do it, but it's not in our ordinance.
Okay, got it. Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, that's fine with me if it's everybody else okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, there was some comments on removing gendered language throughout and replacing the word shall with some less ambiguous language. I think that's easy enough to accomplish. So I was planning on doing that in the ordinance that comes back to you.
Okay.
And I think that's all the issues that I heard from individuals. Is there any others that want to be raised so that we don't have to do this again in 2 weeks?
Well, yeah, I had a couple other things. The sales periods, I know you said that they're consistent with the other jurisdictions, but I wonder why it starts a whole week before the 4th of July, and then it goes until through July 5th. So it seems to me it would make more sense, if not shortening that week up, at least ending sales a little bit before the legal discharge period ends. You know, like if you can only discharge until 10 p.m. on July 4th, maybe you stop sales at 9 p.m. on July 4th, and so it doesn't make sense to me to sell after that, because like even if you're selling the next day on July 5th, what are we foreseeing people doing with those fireworks? Are they going to store them until the next year, which doesn't seem very safe? Or are they going to discharge them illegally, which is something that we're trying to prevent with this ordinance?
I think... that it's all uniform the way the companies do it with all the cities, and I think I don't see any reason to make it any more complicated. Just leave it, let them sell it like it is. If they open on July 5th and get rid of what they have stuff, I mean, we've stored it for years, it doesn't blow up. I just don't see anything keep making it more.
And Arroyo and Grover do the same thing?
Yeah. They have a certain procedure. Come around and pick up the things at a certain time. You don't want to mess with the way it's done, you know, with the system, I guess, that they have in place to handle this. It's just throwing all these little things in at them. We've already done what we did, and I think that's enough.
The other two cities do it, right? The two cities do it?
Yeah,
they're all, it's all uniform what's being done.
No point in us handicapping our people.
Right.
No.
So it's uniform. When the cities change it, then we can reconsider it.
Right.
My other question was on the fees that are charged, which you're proposing raising it a little bit. It hasn't been changed since 1990, whatever. The other jurisdictions charge over $800 and you're proposing $400.
So our fee's been $385 since 1994. So I did a cost estimate of what the routine annual cost would be for running this program each year. And it came up to just a few cents over $1,600. So with four permits, that would come to $400 per permit. So that's why I recommended that modest increase. But yes, the cities do have their I think at 840 and $868 is their permit fee. And I believe that's because they're including enforcement costs in those fees. Whereas we don't have enforcement, the county sheriff does.
Yeah.
So,
what goes into your cost estimate?
The time for staff, including myself, our business and accounting manager, our clerk, our account clerks, and the field crews who go out and clean up on the 4th or 5th of July after the discharge period. So we tried to capture their time and then some time for educational or some costs for educational materials.
So what cleanup is done after the 4th of July?
Tony, are you there?
Yes, sir. In the past, we've actually had the general manager and business accounting manager do cleanups. Every year, the field staff goes out with the dump truck. We have also offered free trash bags for the community to clean up what debris is there, and then we pick it up. We've just gone around the community picking up quite a bit of trash. I believe we might have photos of the past with the dump truck completely full of debris from fireworks. So we do go out and do cleanup amongst the field staff, and also in the past, the office staff has helped out.
Well, thank you for doing that. I didn't realize that you were, and I know I've seen a lot of debris in the street, so maybe that was before you made your pass. But I think certainly we should make sure that we're doing a good job of the cleanup, before all that stuff gets blown into the creeks and into the ocean or washed out in the rains, because there are a lot of toxic chemicals in fireworks litter. So if that's something that needs to be bumped up a little bit in the permit fee, I think that would be a good idea. I also want to make sure that we're fully covering any costs of education. And particularly in this first year, if we do reduce the legal days for safe and sane fireworks to just 1 or 2 days, I would say that it might be worth doing some advertising of that, not just handing out flyers at the fireworks stands, but just making the community more aware through whatever means we have available to, you know, get everybody to know that this is happening and that fireworks are going to be illegal the other 363 or 4 days a year. Then that's going to help out with the enforcement of illegal fireworks by the sheriff's department. Is that, they've mentioned that a number of times, that education is key. So Mr. Clemens, do you think it might be worth bumping up the permit fees by a little bit more to cover that? Additional cleanup or education?
You know, I think I had planned that we would certainly provide stuff to the stands, and I was even thinking a billing insert with water bills.
Yeah.
We need to do that, I think, like through the month of June.
And then Facebook, you know, obviously our Facebook page and website. I think an insert in the water bill will hit the Oceano residents, and then handouts at the stands will hit anyone else that is purchasing maybe from out of the area.
You can get a few posters made, like you can put one up at the office when people pay, can, you know, if they ever can come back and pay water bills, or put it down at the park. We can put them all different places, little posters.
We also need to reach the people from out of the area who come to Oceano just to discharge fireworks, because say Safe and Sane fireworks have been legal 365 for so long. People see a license to discharge any sorts of fireworks here. So I'm just brainstorming on ways to reach them. I mean, if we could put up a banner across Highway 1 in front of the office, or you know, some other ways that we might reach those people, some sort of temporary signage, or
we have.
I think there might be some things that we could do besides reaching out to the people of Oceano to get the word out from people who are going to be here in our community setting off illegal fireworks around that time.
I just wanted to say that, you know, the depot has those posts. We put up 10-foot banners, and we could, I even make one and put it up for, let everybody know that's, you know, on Highway 1. That would help.
This is Director Gibson. So, Mr. Clemens, does the 500 listed, does that cover everything that you were talking about?
400?
Yeah.
That probably would cover stuff for the stands and a billing insert. Anything above and beyond would have to be added. So.
Okay. You know, I agree with the idea of education, but I also think that the people that are shooting the illegal fireworks are not going to stop because, you know, we send out a flyer or something. I mean, I don't see we're going to affect the people that, you know, are going to be doing the illegal fireworks. That's my concern.
Okay. My other concern would be that the handouts we give at the fireworks stands become the litter we pick up on the 5th of July.
Correct.
I mean, I think posters, stuff that's stationary,
yeah,
might be, but the water bill I see is a really good thing.
Maybe we could have
banners and posters at the stands.
How about if maybe just an idea that the vendors can we can make a uniform type banner that has to be put up at their stand or on their stand or something.
Well. Remember, you don't want too much flammable stuff on those stands either.
Flammable.
I think we got time to figure out some kind of marketing campaign.
Figure out how we can get the word out. And the newspapers, of course, and on, you know, we'll get it into the New Times and everywhere.
Yeah, we'll get stories in. But
Yeah.
Advertisements in the Bakersfield, California.
You can put it on Nextdoor, Karen.
There you go.
It should be on Nextdoor, yeah.
Okay, so where are we now? Are we going to move on to the next thing?
I just had one last thought on the costs to try and make this a little more timeless. Instead of having just a fixed fee that has remained the same for 30 years, we could include an increase based on the consumer price index. So it would automatically go up slightly every year, which should stay fairly in line with the costs that we would expect to be incurring.
I could do that. That's easy enough.
So if you were to do that now, we'd have to, is the 400 good now? That's what I think we need to decide.
Yeah, if you want to add more for producing some banners, but those are all kind of one-time costs,
right,
that we could use over and over. But I think if we keep it at 400 and just insert language that it's increased by the CPI each year, that's reasonable. But again, whatever you want, you're the board.
Let's just leave it at 400 this now, and then we'll see how that other works.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
I think I have the direction on the ordinance, unless there's anything else. The other thing would be the letter to the county that was drafted to encourage them to add a section to the county code for social host liability.
Right.
Are we okay with that letter?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If not, you might want to take public comment.
Let's open it for public comment now.
Hi, and to remind the public, it's *9 on the phone, and then if you're on your computer or tablet, please hit the raise hand button, and I have the first hand raised, and I will unmute Julie.
I did, Jeff. Good evening, Julie Tacker, and I just wanted to, I didn't hear that you might tap the garbage budget at all. I think it seems like the efforts from the utility department and cleanup, some of that could be funded by your garbage franchise fees. With regard to signage here in Los Osos, Cal Fire has stationary wood post plywood signs at both ends of our community. We have an entrance and exit, sort of like you guys do with Highway 1. and there they post that all fireworks are illegal in Los Osos, always. I'm not in favor of you allowing New Year's Eve to continue. I think it's just further expense for cleanup, number one. Number two, I thought the whole idea of reducing it down to 1 or 2 days was to then be able to identify illegal fireworks easily. If there's fireworks any other day but the 4th of July, they're illegal. So I don't see why you wouldn't want to make that uniform and take New Year's Eve out of the equation. I don't understand the comment that there's ambiguity in the word shall. I think shall means must, but someone explain that to me sometime. And then there's been some question about your fireworks ordinance predating Five Cities Fire Authority and the fire authorities willingness, ability, whatever it is to enforce it. And I just want that if we're going to start with a clean slate here and basically a new ordinance or fully revised, that that's no longer part of the conversation, that Five Cities Fire Authority will do their part and enforce your fireworks ordinance. Thank you very much.
And with that, that was the only hand I have raised. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Do you want to address?
Actually, I just got a hand raised at the buzzer. I'm going to unmute Chaz.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
This comment is about the fireworks on New Year's Eve. And I think having grown up in the area, it's a given that it's going to happen. And we all know that there's an influx of people coming to town that aren't from around here. And I think that the enhanced responsibilities that law enforcement has to deal with this influx is already going to be a lot. And they should be focusing on altercations, disorderly conduct, drunk driving, everything that comes around with holidays and drinking and partying. Knowing that fireworks are going to be there, I just think we shouldn't dilute what their real purpose is to protect and to serve when we know that these things are going to happen. That's all.
Thank you.
And with that, that was the last hand I had raised. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for that. And we'll bring it back now to the board. And we'll readdress the New Year's Eve. We didn't get that right.
Do we want to wait 2 weeks or do we want to address it now?
I think we should address it now. So we don't have to change it next meeting.
I'm sorry, I messed up my screen for a second there. If I could just address Ms. Tacker's question about the meaning of shall really quickly here. You could Google shall means must or may, and you'll find references to court decisions about the interpretation of that as being an ambiguous word. In fact, if you were listening to the impeachment hearing yesterday, when Trump's lawyer was giving his opening argument, he was talking about what is the meaning of shall, and it means must here. And so in my opinion, as a lawyer, I try to avoid using shall in all contracts because it can be ambiguous. And courts have ruled that it's ambiguous. So that's why I made the recommendation to change that to be will or must or may, depending on the context, just so it's clear.
All right, thank you. Any other?
New Year's. I hope that we don't do it on New Year's.
Okay. Director Ripoll goes, no.
I agree, not on New Year's.
Director Villa?
Now that I think of it, it's like, it's going to happen anyway with the illegals. And I would like it, but if it's easier for law enforcement to deal without it, then I'm fine. I'm fine.
Okay, thanks. Now, Director Gibson?
Yeah, I'll go along with Aileen.
Yeah, me too. It would be nice, but I understand why it shouldn't be.
So we'll keep it July 4th.
July 4th, yes.
And that, you don't really need any action since we're going to bring this back and introduce it at our next meeting.
Okay.
Now you can take a deep breath, Mr. Clemens.
What was that?
I said, now you can take a deep breath.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's it for all of our items. Now we'll just go down through the list of the, there's no hearing items, any communications late received or
None? Okay. Future agenda items, any comments on that?
I just had a question about the art on the old firehouse. What's the status of that? The last I recall, maybe it was pre-COVID, the ad hoc committee was going to put together a request for proposals or something like that. Is that going to be on the agenda anytime soon?
Yes. Well, we're going to get the request for proposals, but we've gotten behind with all the other stuff going on. So it's been hard to get together, but I think Shirley and I are going to get together on that and put out the request for proposals soon.
So I asked staff after last meeting to take what we have so far. It's kind of based on what the city of San Luis Obispo has done for their RFP for public art and tailor it to our needs. So I have staff working to clean it up, and then maybe we can get together with that ad hoc committee and finalize something. And, you know, my hope would be that when the weather gets good, we'd have something for the board, some artists for the board to choose so that it can get painted this year.
What about our funding for it?
That's something that'll have to be addressed. So
okay.
I'll talk to the committee on that.
All right.
I just have a question on our list of future agenda items. We have the State Parks Public Works Plan. The Public Works Plan and draft EIR are out and comments are due soon. So really the only, it would seem that if you wanted to discuss that, that would be the next meeting. Because I believe March 2nd is the due date.
So the comments will be due on the date of the Coastal Commission hearing for this topic, which is March 18th.
Okay.
But so yeah, it would need to be soon.
Yeah. My question is, does your board want to have that as an agenda? I don't know why we're getting feedback. Sorry.
You repeat that.
Didn't we already send the comments?
We said what we would like them to consider in the EIR, a letter. And so I just briefly have been reviewing their draft EIR and the things that affect our services. For example, water, wastewater, there's no mitigation required. The projects either have no impact or less than significant impact. The solid waste impacts are less than significant. The only mitigated impact is traffic during construction, but operationally there's less than significant impact. So I'm not really sure what this board, if it was me, I don't know if we should waste our time commenting.
If I might, there's one big issue that was identified in our local hazard mitigation plan, and that's the increased risk of sea level rise and tsunamis due to the operation of the Pier Avenue vehicle ramp. That I haven't made it through the very long documents entirely yet, but from what I've seen, there aren't any proposals for mitigating that risk whatsoever, and State Parks is proposing to make the Pier Avenue vehicle ramp permanent, meaning it would continue to remove sand from our beach, creating an even deeper funnel for the sea and putting our town's infrastructure as well as homes and businesses along Pier Avenue and in that area at increased risk. So I would see that as something that this board might want to comment on, because I don't believe State Parks addresses that at all in their PWP or EIR.
This is Director Gibson. I'm not really in favor of doing a letter because I question how much influence we have since we have no standing. So I think I'll just let that go.
I'm not going to support a letter. And I know all about Seawater Rise and I've studied that too. I just think it's a maybe, and how do you talk about the future? I'm not going to go there, and I just think it's out of our business. It's none of our business.
I think I know each board member can be involved in, on their own and submit their issues like they have been doing. So, and in this tsunami sea level rise thing, that's something that I don't know that we should even address that as a, I'm not in favor of rehashing this thing over again. We did it before, so I think we should be done with it and just do it on our own. So with that, what do we do?
I'm hearing not to put it on the agenda.
Okay. Aline, did you have anything?
I'm upvoted. And the Oceano Advisory Council already did a letter. And of course, we were against it for reasons that stated that we believe that, you know, there wasn't enough community outreach. The Latino community didn't have any input on it. And the fact that they're wanting to make it, you know, a permanent entrance when it was never meant to be a permanent entrance, it was temporary all these years because they wanted to find an entrance that wouldn't affect the community so that Oceano would have a beachfront. So of course I'm gonna be against it because I want Oceano to have a pedestrian free beachfront. They drive almost like, what is it, a mile and a half or so. So yeah, but I'm upvoted, but that's fine. Individually, we can do all we can.
Which is their, what they do, so.
That's what we do, and we did that already, and
mention sea level rise.
And I didn't mention that, you're right, Cynthia, and I should have, but the other issues are more of what I focus on, it's more my passion, and I do understand that, yes. The other day, when it rained a lot, I was like, I went out there, and I was surprised at how far the water like almost hits the homes there. I was like, I would never live here. I'd be scared for a storm to wash me out. So I understood how, you know, the sea rise could happen easily. And it should have been in the letter. And I apologize for leaving it out. My wrong.
There's no other place safe for those homes on strand. There's never been a flooding. We've had tsunamis. We've had earthquakes in Anchorage, Alaska in 1969. They said the location, the way they're set up, I don't see it happening. So,
you know, how many tons of sand have been removed from the beach since then? That was a long time ago.
And the sand was blowing like crazy. So anyway,
it's in the OCSD's local hazard mitigation plan.
Move on.
As an identified risk. And the Oceano OCSD is not willing to raise the issue with state parks or the coastal commission, I would assume. That's kind of sad because we're the elected body for Oceano. So sure, we can speak individually.
I remember when people were running for election.
An obligation of our CSD.
State parks, remember, Cynthia? We don't give all the state parks. So let's move on, please. If there's no other, anything else, Mr. Clemens?
Nope, that's just my question.
Okay. Make a motion, we adjourn.
Second.
Okay, we'll all adjourn. Thank you very much. Good night, everyone.
Night.
Good night.